Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, February 8th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter How It Works, and we are on page 59, reading two steps today. We're going to read steps 9 and step 10, beginning with made direct amends and ending with promptly admitted it. Today's readers are Sherry Z, who will be reading the text, Mo H, reading page 164, and Justin B will be our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Christina M, and announcements will be Robin P. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, February 7th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,938-19938, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,944-19944. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, this is our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Liz A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Liz A., recovered for today. Compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Well, thank you, Liz A. And next, I will ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Stephanie, for your service. I'm Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida.
The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as we may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers must be muted, should be muted. Today we resume our Big Book study, or a study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 59. We're going to read steps 9 and step 10, beginning with made direct amends, ending with promptly admitted it. So we're just going to read those two steps this morning. And I will now ask Sherry V. to begin reading.
Good morning, Sherry V. recovered in Los Angeles, and I'm so grateful to all of those who do service and every single one of you on the line. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So again, Sherry D. recovered in Los Angeles. Something happened to me this time around after years and years, 31 years of doing the 1-2-3 dance. Something happened to me at step 9, and I don't think I ever worked it in the way that I worked it, where I made direct amends. I always made amends to people who I know would accept it or be okay with it. This time, I actually worked with my sponsor to make amends from a truly honest place, and it was brutal. I don't want to scare off the newcomer, but it seems to be the linchpin for me of the 12 steps, because I couldn't get entirely free until I knew that I could walk down the street and not be afraid to run into anyone. And that experience was profound and hard. And there was someone that it was not possible, but it was truly a gift. And I wanted to make amends to everyone and everything because I'm such a people pleaser. And my sponsor was very, very clear about really doing the amends that needed to make me free and that would not injure others. And 10, continue to take personal inventory. I used to do the 1-2-3 dance all day long, but today I live in 10, 11, and 12. And 10 enables me to stop being so angry. I was just full of rage. And now I take constant, I do 10 steps all the time. I even check in with myself. Who am I resenting in this moment? I don't even sometimes know my feelings. I'm so busy and doing. And when I take care of it in real time, the desire to use any substance, food, anything, is lifted. So for those of you that are struggling, I promise you, for me, the change happened at 9. And it's not odd, it's God. And 10 gave me the gift of being able to address the rage, the anger, the sadness, the grief that I feel just every day. So I look forward to hearing from all of you, and thank you.
Well, thank you, Sherry Z, so much for getting us started. Now I'll take a list of names of people who would like to share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on step 9 and step 10?
Joanne.
Lisa M.
Okay, heard Joanne. Didn't
hear Lisa M.
Not hearing, hearing a lot of people on top of each other. So
Mo H.
I have Joanne, Mo H. I've got Joanne, Mo H. And who was next?
Linnea
M.
I've got Linnea B. Did I get that correct?
Yes.
Linnea
Veronica.
B. I've got Veronica.
Lisa
M. Was there an Amanda? One more time, one at a time, if possible. Lisa M. Okay.
And Jody E.
Jody E. Okay. All right. So we'll start with that lineup. And please make sure to give your last initial and where you're calling from. I have Joanne, Mo H., Linnea B., Veronica, Lisa M., and Jody E. So we're going to start with Joanne, followed by Mo and Linnea. All right, Joanne, you're up.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much for your service. My name is Jo, and my last initial is M as in Mary, and I'm calling from Minnesota. I'm a compulsive overeater. Step 9, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And I can echo what the previous speaker said about what happens in step 9. It's amazing. I did not know that this kind of freedom was possible. I took a complete leap in the dark. I did not know how to do all of this, and somebody showed me, and that's where my inner world did a 180 in the middle of step 9. And it was quite extraordinary. And so I want to say that for anyone who has not been through step 9 yet, you have something really powerful to look forward to. Not something comfortable, but it was very humbling for sure, but something amazing and life-changing. I also wanted to say that sometimes I will hear people say that an apology is not an amend. That's not true. An apology is an amend. It depends on what the harm was. It depends on what your history is and what your patterns are. Some of my amends were apologies. Usually the people that I hear say that an apology is not an amend are people who over-apologized in their life. I never over-apologized. I was not in the habit at all of apologizing. So learning how to give an apology was very much a spiritual task for me, very much spiritual education. It does say later in the book, a mumbling apology will not fit the bill. And that's true. Mumbling, like kind of under my breath, okay, I'm sorry, kind of dismissive, that's not an amend. But a sincere apology with an intent to right the wrong and to listen to the other person's response is an amend. And I know this from experience because I had that experience. Those were some of my amends, not all of my amends. So I want to put that out there today as well. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Joe M. from Minnesota. Next up, we have Mo H., then Linnea B.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in Walnut, California. Step 9 and 10, both very powerful steps. One of my sponsors a long time ago told me that the promises of the program were not going to come true until I was at least halfway through step 9. And as the first two shares, my first step 9s were really sloppy and they weren't sincere. And I really didn't have the wisdom of how to do one properly. And it wasn't until I found a big book sponsor who showed me how to make an amends following the big book on page 83 and 84, by keeping it simple, writing it out, reading it to her, not blaming the other person, just sharing my issue, my fault with them. And the last piece of the next step was, and this is how I plan to change my behavior, which really helped me a lot because it wasn't for the person, it was for me, of how I was going to change my behavior. And that has really helped me in making amends, especially with my financial amends where I had stolen food from grocery stores in those bins and made amends. And now today it's like a hot flame when I go into the store and see those bins. I don't ever want to have to make that amends again. It was very humbling. And then step 10, this has been a game changer also for me, is when I am agitated or frustrated or anything throughout the day, or resentful or angry or whatever, you know, traffic, whatever, I can do a quick 10th step with someone. And then the game changer on that one was making the 12-step call after I finished the 10th step and not talking about this issue. And when I did that, I noticed that the chatter in my head about whoever I was resentful at or whatever I was angry at, that chatter in my head silenced or calmed down. And as I said on Sunday, you know, if it doesn't, then do another 10 step. That's what my sponsor told me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Mo H. And next up, we have Linnea B.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm Linnea B. in Minnesota, recovered compulsive overeater. What an amazing thing to be able to say that. You know, in step 10, you know, helps me stay recovered. I've been amazed when I start to feel things that come up at how intensely I feel them, or as compared to when I was using food compulsively, how I used that food to take the edge off all my feelings. There was definitely something blocking me between me on the inside, my higher power, and the world at large. And taking that away, like, whoa. And so I need a 10th step to keep me very much, you know, to keep me in balance, because stuff comes up all the time. On the 9th step, I just want to say, I was heard somebody one time say, how free do you want to be? You know, and the 9th step really is and has been for me the culmination of all of that house cleaning. Walking around without, you know, a huge reservoir of shame, self-centered fear,
just, you know, resentments, remorse, all that stuff just ruminating, gurgling, simmering, festering inside of me for so long. And the ninth step gave me a chance to open that stuff up, give it the light of day, and make right with my past. I'm so relieved. I was so desperate, you know, and lack of power is my dilemma, you know, and so I got to do everything I can to be able to be in touch with my higher power. And those things, I can't seem to access my higher power when I'm resentful. And I sure can't, or ruminating in my resentment. And I can't, also if I'm full of self-pity or fear. And so this step really, pardon me, you know, gave me freedom from that. And I will just say that I don't owe anybody an amends. I never did owe anybody an amends, but I sure wanted to make them, you know, because I had harmed people. And I can't live knowing that I have harmed people and not tried to do something to make it right. So thank you. I will pass. Linnea B., Minnesota.
Thank you, Linnea B. from Minnesota. Next up, we have Veronica.
Hi, I'm Veronica, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. My last initial is B like boy. And thank you so much for your service. I'm so excited I got on this lineup. Okay, steps 9 and 10. For me, step 9 and 10 are the steps where I get to forgive others. And in forgiving others, I forgive myself. And I heard a lot of people, like the recent share, I hurt so many people in my years. I've hurt many people. And from hurting others, that's where the shame and the guilt comes for me. And so I know that my disease propelled me to hurt others because I'm selfish and I want my way when I want it. And so when I did my amends right away, when I went through the steps the first time, but for me, the real testimony to my relationship with God was to make the living amends. Because once I make my amends, okay, now the real work starts, right? Because now I'm really have to rely and trusting on God, because now I am changing my behavior, right? I said I wasn't going to do this behavior, yell at my sister. And then if I continue to that behavior, I'm not really trusting and relying on God. I'm still relying on self-reliance. So for me, the living amends for me today is where I get to see how much I'm letting God rearrange me and how much I'm trusting in him when I want to, you know, be selfish with my relationships. And then the step 10 is that's me staying on the course, you know, continue to do this work. And continue to stay accountable. Step 10 for me is really where I get to stay accountable and become aware of what defects are blocking me from connecting with God. Because really that's all I want today, is I just want to stay connected to God. I want to feel the conscious contact of God, right? And the only way I'm going to do that is to, along my day, see what defects are blocking me from God. So I have to stay on the course and continue to see where I'm being selfish, dishonest, resentful, and in fear throughout the day. And it's in knowing my true self that I feel closer to God and feel more connected to my God and my understanding. And this program is just absolutely a miracle for me, because I used to eat and throw up for 15 years, and today that obsession has been removed. I have food neutrality. I love the people that are closest to me, and today I can say I have no amends to make, but that's because of living this way of life, which is a way of life for me, you know, these principles that these steps have instilled in me. So thank you so much for letting me share, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from Southern California. Next up will be Lisa M., then Jody E., and then we'll take another lineup. Lisa, you're up.
Hi, this is Lisa M. from Southern California, recovered. I just had a situation with one of my ninth step amends that I thought I'd tell a little story about it because I've been around since 1985 and in and out of recovery a lot of times and done a lot of inventories. But I had gotten past like the, oh, I stole a loaf of bread or, oh, I, you know, said this mean thing to somebody and made amends for many of those things and resolved many of those things. But what I didn't realize is I had some lurking things where, for instance, I had a resentment against a neighbor for something that had happened a long time ago. And I was polite. I didn't owe an amends for my behavior towards this neighbor. But I realized that every time I saw them or walked, you know, into my house next to their house, I was thinking ill will. I was having maybe uncharitable thoughts and not wishing them well necessarily, or thinking you know, are not very nice. And but my amends then became to send this neighbor goodwill every time I got out of my car and went into the house. So I would send a little wish, bless the, you know, ask God to bless them. It's kind of like the prayer in the prayer for 2 weeks, except I had to do it for 2 years. And just this week, my neighbor, over the past month, we've been talking about trucks because we were going to buy a truck, and he helped me. He helped me. He has a lot of expertise. He helped me identify one and get through the sale of one and checked it over, you know, when we had purchased it. And by the end of the, you know, whole transaction, we gave each other a hug, and it's just a miracle. It didn't happen overnight, but my relief from that resentment did happen very quickly. But I am now just in the habit of giving good, and for good measure, just do the other neighbors as well. And being in and out of this program so many times, what I can say for me is that 10, 11, and 12 are the key. So since we're talking about 10, I'll give a vote for 10, 11, and 12 keep me where I need to be so I don't drift away and think that I'm doing this on my own. And I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lisa M. from Southern California, and Jody E., and then we'll take another lineup. Jody, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. So these are two very, very big, important steps. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. There are several pages in the big book on step 9 because it's not an easy thing to discern to whom to make direct amends. Will it harm them or others? Will it implicate others? And they talk about that in the big book. We need to consult with others and our higher power before doing this step. And I highly emphasize that. Early in my program, I jumped to step 9 before working the previous steps and without consulting with a sponsor. And it was very hurtful and harmful. So please, yes, do these steps in order with a sponsor who has done them before us, so they can help us. If any of the 12 steps also might require the assistance of outside help, professional help, I think this is the one, especially ideally if that professional is maybe a 12-stepper themselves. It takes some real, you know, it it really does take some thought. Am I going to be hurting someone else? Am I going to be implicating someone else and harming someone else? I've had some great experiences with step nine. I've had some so-so experiences, and I've been told, advised not to make amends to some people, and I wonder about that still to this day. Should I make that amends? But I take the advice of my advisors. Step 10, as has been said, is one of the maintenance steps, and I too love it and use it on a regular basis. I love the fear prayer that comes at the end of my 10th steps. Dear God, please remove my fear, because there's always a fear at the bottom of every resentment, and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then I listen for what I think God would have me be, and I always hear something from my higher power. It's like two-way prayer for me. And then turning my attention to someone I can help, again, is so important. And it's often forgotten, I think, to then call someone.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. And we're going to take another lineup. Before that, let me, if you've just joined us, we're on page 59. And we are reading steps 9 and 10, just those two steps, and sharing on our experience, strength, and hope. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, please feel free. If you have shared in the last 3 days, please allow time for others to share their experience, strength, and hope. And who would like to share?
Kim.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Kim, what's your last initial and where are you from?
Kim A. from New York City.
From New York. And who was after Kim?
Melanie C. from Oregon.
I've got Melanie C. from Oregon. And who was after
Melinda?
Okay.
Melinda.
Melinda. Last initial?
H as in horse, Virginia.
Virginia. Okay.
Dion R.
Dion R. All right, Dion. And
Shandel S.
Oh, one more time.
Shandel S.
Shandel?
Yeah, S, as in Sam, from New York.
From New York. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And, you know, we'll keep it at the 5. Oh, was there one more? Maybe we can fit one more in.
Deborah G.
Okay, and we'll hold with Deborah G. All right, I've got Kim A., Melanie C., Melinda H., Dion R., Shandel S., Deborah G., and we'll go ahead and start with Kim A. from New York.
Thanks. Am I still unmuted?
You are unmuted.
Okay, thanks. So I just called in a little late, and I didn't hear the exact pages, but I know that we're talking about steps 9 and 10. And the truth is, I don't need to like the steps. I don't need to even completely understand why my sponsor, who is my guide through all of this, is advising me certain ways with my amends. I like to understand, but the truth is that, you know, we learn that we can't tell the difference between the truth and the false, back in the doctor's opinion. And even though, you know, our thinking is much improved by the time we get to this point in the steps, we still have kind of flawed thinking, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't need steps 10, 11, and 12. It would just be a 9-step program. And so what I need to keep in my mind is that I'm not going to need to have the willingness to make all amends at once. You know, I don't need to get hung up on that. I just need to be ready and pray for the willingness. And the whole purpose of step 9 isn't to make me feel comfortable, and it's not to alleviate, you know, me feeling bad or any kind of guilt about things I might have done. It's not for me. I'm doing it so that I can clear away that wreckage of the past, right? Because these are the things that make me eat. I don't eat because of any particular ingredients I don't eat because of triggers. I don't eat because of anything outside of myself. The Big Book makes it really clear that the reason I eat is because of my thinking, because my thinking leads me into resentment and fear and self-pity and all of these things. So if I'm following the directions of my sponsor, who's guiding me through this process, then my thinking is going to change. And that really starts with step five, as she's helping me see things in a new way. So if my thinking is going to change and I'm getting humble enough to make these amends, then I'm not going to eat. And so when we come to steps 10, 11, and 12, you know, I'm not going to eat as long as I see the truth. And steps 10 and 11 are really to help me see the truth on a daily basis. Steps 4 and 5 are to help me see the truth kind of like from my past, which is that my thinking is the problem. I'm only going to eat based on the lies in my head, that other people are doing stuff to me, that I need to be afraid of certain things, that I need to manage certain things, even that I need to manage my own food. If I could manage my own food, I wouldn't be here. I can't manage anything. It's for my higher power to manage. So by the time... Thanks, I'll wrap up. So by the time I get to 10, 11, and 12, I'm just like a little detective looking all day, every day, for when my mind is kind of acting out in those ways, and now I have a real solution. I don't need to rely on food as my solution to make me feel comfortable. I have a real solution in the actions of the steps and in my higher power. I'll pass with that. This is Kim A. in New York City. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim A. Next up, we have Melanie Steve and Melinda H.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. Oh, I, too, just singing the praises of what a ninth-step experience can do for someone with a heart that was hardened as mine and that felt like the world had done me so wrong. And I had one in particular that was one that I was sort of avoiding in many ways, and I knew that it wasn't going to change anything, but I would like to have the idea that it could, so I was willing to go and do what I needed to do after a bit of time. And I felt that this person was evil personified, and I just knew that person was wrong, and that person was all the things that I was not, you know, that I was a higher, more righteous person. And after that experience, I'll just briefly say, I melted on the spot. And I saw this person just like me, even after all the things that person had done, and had a compassion and a tolerance and an understanding that I hadn't had before ever and didn't think I was capable of doing. And I didn't want that feeling to ever go away. I didn't want to turn right nor left so that it wouldn't spoil that thing that happened for me with another human being, for another human being, because I found it difficult to have empathy, certainly for this particular person. And so the directions for maintaining that particular type of transformation is explained on page 84 of the Big Book on step 10. And step 10 tells me any time during the daytime that thing kind of wells up again, because it will. You know, the same kind of block that I had, that same disconnect from power, that's going to happen for me, that I have an opportunity in the moment, as it's able to and presented to, get right back down to watching for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, and work that through. And I'm a processor, so I get right into that deeply. Some people can do it quickly and move on. And for years, I didn't even do a step 10. And so I had a lot of built up of things, even after my original step 9 experience, that I was able to work through and deal with this on a daily basis. And I was thrilled to have that opportunity and share it with somebody else and work with somebody else immediately. It was mentioned. The thing that I wanted to share with you that I learned for me is that I kept going into it thinking I was going to get that same exact experience that I had with that step 9. And I was going to be able to be clear of the thing that had gotten me riled up, that had me worked up again. And so I would go back and do it again and again and again and again and again because I was sure that I wasn't clearing. And what I realized apparently, and I'm going to wrap up here, Stephanie, was that I was thinking that I could do it on my own apparently. But what was truly happening is that it was a physiological response. When I get upset or get angry, I dump a ton of adrenaline on top of me, and that's not what's going to go away. But the fact that I've done the action, because this is a practical program of action, I knew that eventually, as things moved on, I was going to be transformed, and in fact, it has. So maybe don't expect necessarily to feel fantastic right after, and give yourself a break. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. from Oregon. We've got Melinda H. next, and Dion R. Melinda, you're up.
Hi, Melinda H. from Virginia, and just wanted to say a few words about my experiences with steps 9 and 10. With 9, I definitely made some in early recovery without consulting a step guide or a sponsor. You know, I just took it upon myself to do that. One in particular having to do with the wife of a man that I was having an affair with. And you know, it went well, except that I didn't stop doing what I was doing. And so eventually my amends, you know, when I finally realized that I had to stop doing what I was doing, you know, my amends became leave those poor people alone. And then I've had some, you know, amends that have gone well. I did one with my sister, and she didn't hear me at all. I gave her the opportunity to, you know, say anything that she needed to, or anything that I, you know, might have missed in my amends to her, and she just made some comment to me that was just completely didn't have anything to do with anything. So, you know, that was, I guess, kind of a neutral one. And then recently, this is after 20 plus years of recovery, recently I have become willing to make amends to my second husband. I have resented him all these years because he got primary custody of our child, because he got all the money from, you know, our joint belongings, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I had to stop fighting with him because it was literally killing me. I was starting to have so many health problems, I just didn't know what was going to come next. So I did give up. But not happily. And so it hasn't been until very recently doing the work that needs to be done that I have become willing. I'm not ready to rush over to his house and announce that I'm there to make amends. But when the opportunity does present itself, and it will, because we do see each other,
gentle reminder.
Oh, thank you. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is, you know, that's a very, very long-standing resentment, and I'm now willing because of doing the work. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Melinda H. We've got Dion R., then Shandal S., and Deborah G., I'm not sure we're going to have time for you. I think we will play it by ear, but next up is Diane R.
Hello, good morning all. My name is Dion R. And I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And just being glad to be alive today, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so or injure them. And also to continue to do that in step 10. Step 10, 11, and 12 really saved my life. I just want to throw that in ahead of time. But that's step 9. It's like it's so many people have said so much already. I'm like, oh my goodness. But the making amends part keeps sticking out to me. It's like the part, like I heard someone say, it's not an instant gratification. It doesn't instantly go away, but you feel so much better. The door opens for you. The world opens for you. Life opens for you. And I really connect closer to my general master of the universe, which is God, my higher power, God, right? So it's so beautiful for me to do this. And it's like, and if I don't clean up my records in my past and approach the one when my higher power brings it to my knowledge or my understanding, and I want to sweep it under the rug, say, I have to get it. Oh, I didn't do that. My husband did that. That ain't me. You know, it and I know, because it'll keep coming back to me like a gerbil on a tree and on my head. Yeah. So it's like things I do know I need to do, and I don't care how pretty it up. I can't make an excuse to get out of it. I can. I mean, the choice is I can go backwards or just stagnate. And to me, that's going backwards. It'll eventually fall or go back in the pool. But I heard the founder of this program say, of this meeting, I'm sorry, say, you know, how free do you want to be? It's just that simple. I tried it 23 years of doing it Dion's way and taking a shortcut. I'm going to take this like a mortgage board. I only want this part of the step that I've got to clean up the record of my past. That's what step 9 says. I can't pretend I don't know when I know. Because I can't fool me. I was not going to fool me. I tried it. It didn't work. I'm back in the food. So just for today, you know, as God brings things to my higher power, brings the understanding knowledge of what I have to do, I do this. It evaporates. It don't go right away. It just like a fear or anything else. It's the big book says we commit. It means we on our way. It's on our way. I'd rather do that. Like someone said, you want to go to food hell? You can do that. Or you could try something different. And today I'm sticking with the program. It's the worker for to June 23rd, 2012. And that's going to keep on charging. Thank you all for allowing me to share. And as I continue to take my 10, 11, and 12, just let you guys know, no matter what, we could do this. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Dion R. And where are you from? Can you let us know real quick? Okay. So I overshot the mark. Chandal S. from New York, you've got 1 minute. And Deborah G., sorry, we're not going to get you
a lot of stuff. I am from Ohio.
Thank you so much, Dion R. All right, Chandal, sorry about that. You got 1 minute.
Okay. Hi, I'm Chandal S.
We can't hear you. Can you hit star one?
Hi.
Sorry. I thought I was on. There you go.
Can you hear me? Okay. All right.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Hi. So Shane S., a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. Very grateful for this meeting. And step 10 has really, well, the steps have changed my life. And, of course, God has changed my life. But step 10 has really helped me with its seeing where I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. Like selfish, I was a victim for so many years and a slave to my emotions, and it helped me really see how I was playing the director and wanting things to be my way, and dishonest of like that people had to be a certain way in order for me to be okay. And then I really see now that it's not only it's all dependent on my relationship with God, and all my fears also turning them back to God and what would God have me be in the situation. It's all going away from everything around me into inside of me being the person that God wants me to be, and letting go of all the rest. And it's a process, small baby steps, but it has given me the freedom and that spiritual experience that I was so looking for, and where just I'm really neutral.
Gentle
with
reminder.
And I'm just so grateful for this program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, okay. Chandel S. from New York, for closing us out. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Mo H., will you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I will. Mo H. here in Walnut Creek, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.